From the fog, I am your host Casey, and with me as always is the amazing and wonderful Veronica. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm good. Drinking a triple. It's been a long time since we've had a triple.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
This is gonna be interesting. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Just, you know, living the retired life, as they say.
You're only temporarily retired.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is what it is. Pros and cons. What are the pros?
Pro, being able to go early on a Monday to see a brand new movie.
That is pretty awesome. Was it Monday? I thought it was Friday.
We saw it on Friday. That's right.
Yeah, Monday was yesterday.
That's right.
And we had seen the movie already.
Being retired, you don't know what day of the week it is anymore.
Also, being me on any day means not knowing what day it is. But yeah, I think we saw it on Friday. We saw it Friday morning, the very first showing that they had that day.
Yeah.
Which was 10 a.m.
10 a.m., bright and early. With all the other old people.
I think we were the youngest ones in the group, with the exception of a mother-daughter.
Yeah.
Or a mother-son.
She was like 5 or 6,
yeah,
but
was like the only little kiddo who probably should have been in school. But wasn't.
Yep.
No judgment from me. Could have been homeschooled. I don't know. The theater was not very packed. It was maybe like a third to a half, if that.
Yeah, maybe probably a third, I would say, if that.
Lots of sit and scoots in the movie theater. That was
nice. Fun.
Yeah, it was a very pleasant experience. I think we had the perfect seats. We weren't
really good audience to see with it because not a lot of young kids. The crowd was really chill, very respectful.
Mm-hmm.
It was very good.
So are we going to spoil the crap out of this movie today?
Yes, we are going to spoil the crap out of it. So if you have not seen The Last Jedi, turn it off, go watch it, and then come back and listen later because there are going to be spoilers like crazy in this thing.
So this is talking about any kind of movie is interesting for me because I'm not terribly good at like pulling out of my head the connect the dots or the fan theory or even remembering what happened in a movie, but it is all in there. So I don't always right away like put that kind of stuff together when discussing a movie,
mm-hmm,
especially one that has like a prequel or a sequel or whatever. But hopefully I can piece it together this evening, or morning, or whenever it is you decide to take in your podcasts, and I'll do my best, you know. So, all right, so, like, how do you want to do this? Do you want to just, like, this happened, then this happened, then this happened, or do we just want to go in assuming that everyone's seen it and just pick something and run with it?
I say let's just pick something and run with it. But before we do that, I want to say that I absolutely loved the little Lego beginning, kind of telling you everything that happened in episode 7. They're mm-hmm. like, hey, this is episode 7 in like 20 seconds. And it
perfectly
was awesome.
Perfectly concise. And adorable. I mean, Lego animation is adorable no matter what. But it was perfectly summary thing.
Yes.
Summary-ish.
Also, I'm going to say that I love Ready Player One, the book. And I was mm-hmm. worried about when they said they were going to make the movie because it's a hard movie to make. And from what I saw in the preview, I'm pretty excited to go see it.
I feel like the technology is there now to be able to bring that kind of thing to life. By that same note, though, the preview for A Wrinkle in Time, I used to always think that that would be such a great movie. And I just read that book to Xander, I don't know, maybe like a year or two ago. And he was really into it. So the fact that they're actually going to undertake that and put that into a movie.
And the people they have in that movie is just amazing.
Yeah, like, really good choices.
Yeah, so
I think it's going to do that book justice. And whether it adheres to the book perfectly, I mean, books aren't written to be books. They're written to be screenplays. They're written to be books. They read differently and they tell the story differently. So, you know, there might be a lot of stuff that doesn't make it in or some stuff that's new. who cares? It's going to look beautiful. You know, the three witches are going to be amazing. The kids look great. The dad looks great. Zach Galifianakis looks funny as hell. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Star Wars. Where do you want to start?
Oh, my God. I don't even know. Can we start with those adorable little beakless birds?
The porgs?
Aren't they the cutest little things?
Yes, I love the porgs. God. Everybody was really scared about them. They're like, oh my God, it's going to be another Jar Jar Binks kind of a thing.
Why do you assume that just because someone made one bad decision, that they're going to continue to make the same bad decision and not learn from it?
I thought they used the porgs perfectly. Like, they weren't in it too much, and when they were in it, it was just enough, you know.
It was not overpowered.
To be interesting, yeah.
It's like a funky spice. You want it in there, but not too much. When I went shopping with my mom for Christmas presents,
yeah,
they had so much of the little, what are they called, blorgs?
Porgs.
Porgs. They're so cute. They're like little stuffed animals of them everywhere, and you can get little keychains, and there's some that are mechanical. I don't know what they do. Probably dance and make cute noises. It's just so adorable.
It'd be a great Furby replacement if they made those into like a Furby type thing.
It is the motorized version of it is very Furby like. Probably not as creepy. Yeah. Not as like AI driven. Probably just a few presets and that's it. So adorbs.
I loved the part where Chewie was roasting the porgs and he was gonna eat it, and then the other porgs are like, "What's up, man? Why are you doing that?"
Oh, that look of such deep sadness. I like that he didn't eat it. But then I have to wonder, like, what the hell have they been eating? They've been sitting on this island for...
Well, he was fishing, right? Didn't he go fishing?
Luke did.
Yeah.
That, I don't know. We don't know if anybody else did. Like, I always wonder, like, bodily functions, like normal existence type things. Like, of course they're not going to show that in an epic series, but... I still wonder.
Like, what does a Star Wars toilet look like?
Yeah. Like, how does Chewie poop? And, you know, like...
Is there scissors involved later?
And Rey's a girl, right? Inherent problems being a girl.
She has the Force, though. She can just
like force it away.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how it works. Who am I to say? I don't know. I don't have the Force. I don't know.
I mean, technically, she's not human because humans live on Earth. She's... a humanoid.
Why do only humans live on Earth? Why do Homo sapiens only exist on Earth?
Well, I mean, I guess they don't, but I mean, I don't know. Good question.
That was oddly presumptuous of you to say that. Why would you think she wasn't a human?
Well, because humans live on Earth, right? So then it's just like, well, they're maybe part of the same species, but maybe not exactly the same.
But who's to say
because if you... grow up in a different environment, you inherently get different traits, right?
So that make every single person who's
ever been
in Star Wars
not human? That's why there's like
30
different kinds of monkeys, right? So there could be 30 different variations of a human.
Probably, but hang on a minute, because now you're referring, because like they never address Earth. Well, this is like a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah.
So that means that there's not a single human in the Star Wars, like, canon.
Yes.
Anywhere. Okay.
Probably, yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that that's...
It could be like a type of human.
They're humanoid. Maybe descendants of human?
We're all probably descendants of the same stardust.
We all
grew up on different planets. So if you grow up in different places, you know, evolution tells you that you're going to have different traits.
Well, having different traits doesn't make you a different species.
No, that's what I'm saying. There's like variations of... So they're a Homo sapien... of some kind.
That still makes her a human.
Yeah.
Okay.
But a different genus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. This is our Star Wars conversation. We're not talking about...
we've got...
What species
we've already
is
gone
Rey?
Off the rails, and we've been on for 5 minutes.
Oh, Lord.
It's going to go great. All right, so back to the movie. So it starts off... How does it start off?
I thought you knew. Hang on.
Well, let's just talk about Rey and Luke on planet Skywalker or whatever he is.
This is why I'm not good to talk about movies, because it's like, well, how did it start? I don't know. I was just lost in the world. I didn't pay attention to what came first or next. I don't know.
Well, it started off with that battle, right? Didn't it start off with the battle?
They all started
when
out
they
with
were
the battle.
leaving the they were escaping whatever planet they were on. Yes. And then Poe was like, I'm gonna kill everything.
Oh yeah, and then he got demoted.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that was interesting because there was a little bit of an Aristotelian unity in there, which isn't terribly typical, or maybe it is, but I'm not thinking about it. But like the ship, the cruiser or whatever it is that they all escape in, that's like a consistent character, if you will, from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
And like the only time I could think of another instance of that is like the Death Star.
Yeah.
It's that consistent, because even the Millennium Falcon is here and there and like not really like a central focus in anything. So I feel like that's like one of the, that was an interesting like keeping everything on the same storyline, like around that little shuttle thing.
Sure.
Anyway.
I had a problem with this battle.
Okay.
So they have all this epic tech. They're flying freaking TIE fighters. They've had all the way back to the prequels and all the way back to when Luke joined the Rebel Forces when they were like on their last legs and they were all about to be destroyed last time. Mm-hmm. Why the hell do they have these freaking bomber things that you've never seen ever and they go like 2 miles an hour? Like, I love the throwback to the Flying Fortress. My grandpa flew Flying Fortresses in World War II. So it was cool that they tried to take something that was very warlike that we can relate to and put it into the Star Wars movie. But at the same time, it made absolutely no sense. Like, they have the Y-bombers, which are these high-speed, fast attack bombers. Why weren't they using those?
What if those bombers suck and they were out of the Y-bombers because they all got blown up already and those stupid bombers were the last resort?
Well, that would have made sense. So if they would have used those bombers, like let's say that attack that they were doing at the beginning of the movie was coinciding with the attack later on in the movie when they're in the shitty base with all the crap, that would have made sense because they're like, you know what, we got nothing else. Mm-hmm. These things are sitting in storage. Let's just try to make them work.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're in this other base with all these high-tech planes. Everything's awesome. And space, there's no weight. So it's like they're flying like they're overloaded, but there's no weight in space. So they should just, then they have giant ass engines on the back. So they should just be cruising.
And then how come they fall?
Yeah. And then they fall. These freaking bombs fall in space. Really?
And like, there's the gravity force that's part of those things. Like, does it spill outside of the ship walls to where those bombs would want to fall down? Like in the,
is it
like,
making
you know,
like a gravity well underneath the ship? Either way, I thought that was completely ridiculous.
So it's just an odd time to bring out that particular piece in their arsenal.
Yeah, they could have found like a million other ways to blow up that juggernaut ship and make it awesome.
And they move super slow, right?
Like, yeah.
Why?
There's no point to them moving slow. Like they should have just blasted in, dropped on top, dropped the bombs, blasted out. Like they should have just like, you know. Yeah, that whole, and then like targeting through a spyglass like they did in the bombers. Like, really, you're going to look through a little peephole through like a glass telescope with a crosshair to make sure that your high-tech spaceship is going to drop bombs in the right spot? It's like, really?
I think somebody was probably in your shoes where they had a relative who used those things. They're like, I really want these things in here. Like, I don't know. I'm wanting to have like as much of a throwback to those particular things as possible.
Which I'm fine with it. I love the design, but it did not fit. Like, they should have found a different way to use those things.
Interesting. And I mean, I don't tend to look at those things because, like, none of it should exist and none of it makes sense. So I just kind of suspend disbelief and, like, whatever they use, they use.
Yeah.
And, like, good for you. So I didn't even question it. Because if I started to question that, I would then question the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, and then I can't. Like, I can't let myself get caught up in those things because then I would just be asking too many questions and wouldn't just let it be what it is. Just let the story be what it's supposed mm-hmm. to be. So, I mean, not that you shouldn't. I think these questions should arise because that'll make, you know, movie making better in the future. But, you know, for me, not really knowing much about military anything, you know, never mind like what to use and then tactics involved, like it just, it wasn't something that came to mind for me. But if it did come to mind for you, that means there's probably others that it did as well.
Yeah. And so. To be fair, they really faithfully recreated the interior of what those planes would look like into probably what it would look like inside of a spaceship. Because I actually got to go inside my grandpa's plane.
Whoa.
Because okay, so you had to complete a certain amount of bombing runs, and once you completed the bombing runs, you were sent home.
Mm-hmm.
And usually they were sent home in their plane, and they would do a tour of duty around America promoting the war, saying like, yeah, we're awesome. Like,
buy war bonds.
Exactly. So, yeah, they did their entire tour of duty. I think they did lose one plane, but they were able to, like, ditch it in the ocean and then get on a boat and then go back and get another plane and finish their tour of duty.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, his team, his crew never lost a single person, which is, like, almost unheard of back then. Like, nobody died on his plane.
Whoa.
And so I guess I got to see a second plane.
Was that the one? Was his the one that went down that he had to get a new one?
Yeah. Well, he was the pilot, so he flew.
So it was his fault.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
So at one point we were in. A lot of them ended up in the States, in like state museums where these pilots lived. So when we went back to Arkansas one time, they had his plane on display, and we actually got permission to go inside it.
Whoa.
So I actually got to sit in the ball turret in the bottom, and then I got to climb all the way back to, like, the tail gun's position.
Did you make the noise and go pew, pew,
of
pew?
Of course. Okay, come good. On. I was, like, probably 10 or 11. I
yeah,
was
but
like,
you would have done this at 35.
Of course.
How do you not?
Yeah. But, yeah, so it's totally awesome. And it has those little catwalks, like, they were walking on, like, through the plane and stuff like that.
That had to have been a throwback to that then.
Yeah.
Just paying homage to that. Well, can you think of another part in the movie where something like that would have been more fitting?
I think if they would have used them at the very end. Like, if they were having some sort of space battle in conjunction. Like, let's say, you know, those ships are chasing them through space, and then the little things are trying to get away. Right? They could have had, at some point, one of those ships that could go slightly faster than those other ones, and they had to send in these shitty bombers to try to take out that one plane that's going to take out, you know, that one ship that's going to take out all their other ships, you know.
Sure.
They could have done something where, like, it would have made more sense. Like, this is all we got, so we have to use it.
Yeah. Hmm. So what was the planet that they were all on that they had to evac in the beginning?
That I don't know. It's the planet where they ended the last one, episode 8.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Hmm. I don't remember the name of it. But where they ended up was called Crate, I think.
So it was this big-ass base, and the Empire found out that they were all there. And so they were trying to evac.
Yeah.
And that's when we catch them.
They're evacing out of there.
Okay. So we missed a lot of that evac process, mm-hmm. which is like hours, if not days long.
Yeah. But I have to say I loved, like, and completely unexpected for a Star Wars story, is Poe totally fucking with the captain of that ship at the beginning, where he's just like, I'm holding for the captain. And then the guy's just like talking like, I'm going to crush you. And then he's like, yeah, I'm still holding.
That was very modern thing to do.
It was, but
it was pretty funny.
It was funny.
Yeah, because I mean, it almost dropped that fourth wall. Like it stopped taking itself seriously for a minute.
Yeah,
and you know, I'm sure that polarized a few people.
I'm sure, because the thing, like, it's weird because they kicked off the guys who did the Lego movie, right? Off of the Han Solo, they were supposed to do the Han Solo movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, hello, these guys did the Lego movie, and...
They're going to do, like, a live action?
Yeah, Han Solo.
Like, create them?
Like, the Han Solo Star Wars story that's
did that
coming
start
out.
Yet?
Yeah, it's already, I think, it's already filmed.
Okay.
Ron Howard took over.
There's a lot of director changing
yeah,
in this whole thing.
But they apparently kicked him out because they were making it too funny. But then you
A Lego movie.
Exactly. Like, why are you going to hire Lego movie guys to make a movie and then say they're making it too funny?
Seriously, like, how else are you going to sell that
to them? But then you switch to this movie, and there was a lot of funny bits in it.
So it was the directors of the Lego movie who took over for the last guy that they fired while this one was getting made?
No, they were the directors hired to do Han Solo.
Okay.
The Han Solo side story.
I wonder what was the deal with, like, all the different directors that were for this movie?
Same thing. They're kind of like, they want to do things their way, and the studio's like, no, you can't do that. But then, apparently, Rian Johnson came in, and they just gave him free rein. And there's some interesting stuff we'll get to at the end.
Do you have, like, intel from that Kevin Smith thing that you watched?
I do.
Oh. I wanted to watch that, but I didn't.
So there's some interesting information. So, but, I mean, I already kind of knew this stuff anyway. But what's interesting is that it was so funny. Like, there was a lot of funny, like, little bits here and there in this movie, which kind of harkened back to the episode 4. Like, there were some kind of funny bits, especially with C-3PO and R2-D2.
They were quick moments.
Yeah.
But not kind of like that.
This one, they kind of dragged on a little longer than those quick little moments. But, I mean, it felt closer to, like, episode 4 style. Like, it went a little, not taking itself quite too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I liked it. I'm going to say that I didn't like it as much as I wanted to like it.
What was holding you back?
I think there was a lot of flaws in the story.
And again, this is, you know, it's still Star Wars. And if you look at it, there's a lot of flaws in every other Star Wars that's been made too. Like, the size of the universe, you know, in which the story is being told is too big to put, you know, in any one movie. Even in 9 movies. Like, it's an entire existence that you're trying to fit into these things. Like, there's going to be shit that doesn't make it onto the screen. So, there's going to be holes. There's going to be, like, missed connections between one character's motivation and another.
But and see, like, the thing is, like, everything that I didn't like, there was something that I absolutely loved.
So it was, like, another thing that you didn't
like. It almost, like, balanced itself out to be like, all right, it's a decent movie.
I see what you did there.
All
right, so tell me, let's get negative Nancy. Tell me another thing that you didn't like about the thing.
Everything they built up to in episode 8 made absolutely no difference in this movie.
Yeah.
So, like, Snoke, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was this epic badass. He was controlling the Empire. He has, you know, he has Kylo Ren under his thumb, and he's making him his apprentice. And in this movie, he shows up for 5 seconds and gets cut in half. And he's gone. It's like, really? You're going to have him go out like that? Like,
you had another moment like that where you're like, really? You're going to have him go out like that? With Luke.
Yes.
You're like, why?
So the problem with Luke, and Luke was, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, he was, like, the underdog, you know, and then he became Jedi Master, right? He's, like, the whole reason the rebellion even exists now, up until this point. Like, he is the reason. So, and then to say that he wouldn't have the judgment at the end of the day to not try and kill Ben Solo. Like, if he felt that Ben Solo was turning to the dark side, I can't honestly see Luke Skywalker being like, well, I'm just going to fucking kill him. Like, he doesn't have that kind of mentality and that kind of heart. Like, he wouldn't do it. But and he would have never been driven to that point.
Wasn't there, like, a little teeny beat, teeny weeny hint of dark side in Luke the whole time?
Well, there is in everybody, right? In
so all the then Jedis. What if, like, for a hot second, that was the dominant thought? Like, wouldn't that be enough to have him be like, oh, I gotta kill this guy? And it's for good, you know, like, under the guise of he's doing the right thing, but it's actually the dark side.
I can't see him falling into that trap.
So do you think that's all bullshit?
I mean, he fought Darth Vader. You know, like, he fought Darth Vader, his dad, and he didn't struggle with that.
He was younger.
I don't know, but still. So that kind of bothered me, but I was like, okay.
It did seem a little out of character.
Yeah, it's out of character for him, but okay. Then he, you know, so then after that, he completely disconnects himself from the Force and goes and self-banishes himself onto this island.
Was that his plane that was under the water?
Yeah, that was his X-Wing.
So he was just like, basically just like pushing his car off the cliff.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the other thing is like, as soon as he saw the X-Wing underwater, I was like, oh, he's going to raise it up like he did with Yoda in the swamp, right? But then that never happened.
It might have happened and it got cut. We don't know.
It could have. But then he loves his sister so much, which would he really like just peace out on his sister and leave her hanging?
Yeah, because like that was that her son that he tried to kill.
I know.
So to bail does not seem out of the question.
Yeah, I don't know. I still can't see him just bailing on the rebellion like that, like just full on like peacing out.
I think he was scared because the dark side grew in him too much and he didn't know what to do with it. He's like, I got to get out of here.
Maybe.
Like, before I do more damage.
Also,
with the way that he kind of, like, just disappears at the end, it's, like, to me that made sense because he had, like, he didn't need to have this epic death because he had an epic battle right before it.
Well, we'll get there.
Okay.
So he's on a stupid island where he's banished himself. Rey finds him, and now he's scared to train her because he's like, she's going to turn to the dark side.
I think at this point, he's assuming that the Force is the dark side and the light side is just a myth.
Well, he says something very poignant in that he's like, the Force isn't the light side and the dark side, right? It's like all the stuff in between and you decide what you do with it.
That makes sense.
Which is cool. Like, they kind of explain it in a different way.
That can be paralleled with consciousness itself.
Yeah.
It's what you do with it that determines if, you know, life is, you know, inherently violent or mm-hmm. peaceful.
So I thought the stuff with Luke and Rey were cool, like the training and all that stuff. Like, it sucked that it was, like, in a negative way. Like, he's like, fine, I'm going to, like, train you, but only to show you it's not worth it kind of a thing.
They didn't really show that much of how he trained her, though.
No, not too much.
It's like he messed with her with a, like, palm leaf, and then suddenly she can force move shit to grab it off of a rock. Like, it was kind of quick.
Yeah. But then, on to something that I loved, Frank Oz coming back as Yoda.
That was good.
So it was like, this dude. Then all of a sudden they just bring me back. They're like, oh shit, here's Yoda. And it was like a real puppet, not CG. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome because it was like the legit puppet. Like, I don't know if it was the original from the original trilogy or if they recreated it exactly.
Knowing the lifespan of rubber latex, I'm going to say that was a recreation. Because you know that after, like, 2 years, it starts to harden and crumble.
Yeah, so but they could have reskinned it. So the internals could have been the same, and they could have reskinned with a new Yoda skin.
Well, it depends on how the thing was made. But yeah. Anyway, knowing what it was likely made of, I'm going to guess that they made a new one. But the fact that it was practical is good.
Yeah, and that Frank Oz came back and did the voice and that's everything. It was awesome. So then, you know, Luke is like, I'm not going to train you. So Rey takes off with Chewie and they're like, fine, we're going to go to Kylo Ren and hang out. The other thing that was weird was the very Harry Potter thing of Kylo Ren and Rey being able to, like, telekinesis each other or, like, talk to each other through space.
Has that ever been addressed through the Force before?
When Luke was piloting the X-Wing in the trench run, right, he heard Ben.
Luke, use the Force, yeah.
Yeah.
But he heard it in his head. He wasn't like Rey and Kylo Ren, like,
could see each other.
See their surroundings. Like, that's taking it to the next level.
Yeah. That's a whole new level.
She was stronger than him because she could see what he was wearing and where he was standing, but he couldn't see her surroundings. He could only see her.
Yeah. But then, like, so fast forwards when they're in with Snoke, right after he goes to see, after Rey takes off to go meet Kylo Ren, Snoke kind of says, like, hey, I set this whole thing up, like, as a party line, mm-hmm. and we were all hanging out together.
So do you think he was just trying to take credit for that?
I don't know. And so here's a thing that's really interesting. So everybody's saying that we know who Rey's parents are now, right? Because Kylo Ren at some point says your parents were just worthless traitors who left you on the stupid planet. I'm not sure if that's true.
I kind of called BS on that, but I kind of called BS on that
too, because I think he was just trying to get into her head.
Yeah.
And kind of break her down a little bit so he can control her.
That's what I thought too.
And people are taking it as fact. Like, oh, her parents are stupid traitors. And I don't think that was necessarily true. I think that was all just shenanigans to be able to control her a little more, break her down a little bit, and say you're nothing special.
Yeah, to try to get her to see him as more powerful than she was.
Yeah.
That's what I thought too, but I really don't have any reason as to why. Just knowing that he was manipulative.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And knowing manipulative people like we do, we can see through that kind of stuff maybe.
Well, I think it's just an instant assumption that whatever they're saying is bullshit.
Yeah.
As a matter of self-defense.
Maybe.
So when he says that stuff, especially in that state, in like that heightened sense of everything after what they had just gone through together, mm-hmm. that made me instantly think that he's trying to regain control over her because she's the reason that he is still alive.
Yeah.
At that point. So I think he feels like he's this big and he needs to be bigger again.
Yes.
So he's trying to control her.
I think the same thing. Yeah.
And for a long time, I know that there was rumor that like maybe Luke was her father, mm-hmm. but like, I don't know. I think that's too easy. I think that maybe her parents or somebody else, like someone important with the rebellion or like former members of, you know, the Force fun party. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think it's as simple as they were just, I don't think they're throwaway characters. I think they're important.
Yeah. I think they're going to end up being important to whoever her parents really are.
Yeah.
But we'll see if we get disappointed in the next one.
When you go in with zero expectations, you're never disappointed.
That's true. So once we're in this spot, we get one of the most epic battles, I think, besides Snoke being a total idiot and getting sliced in half. You would think if he's like this all-powerful person, he'd be able to see like what Kylo Ren was doing with the other lightsaber.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I feel like when the Force happens, it's almost like if you could see the laser connection between your brain and what you're working on, if you were like keen on the Force, that you would sense that.
Yeah.
Like, how come he didn't pick up on the fact that Kylo Ren was looking at the freaking lightsaber?
I know. He's, like, super powerful. He can lift Rey in the air. He can, like, throw her around.
But he was also busy. Because he was lifting Rey in the air, and he was in the middle of a dialogue, a monologue. So he was, may have been using all of his mana points. All right, villains.
That's for you guys. Stop doing monologues and just do your shit.
Well, you got to think, like, maybe there's what you use action points, what I refer to as mana. Like, maybe there's only so much bandwidth you have as far as whatever actions you're doing, and you can't multitask past a certain point.
Maybe.
So maybe he isn't as amazing as he says he is, in which case he used all of his action points or his mana to work on just what he was working on mm-hmm. and wasn't able to detect the thing.
Yeah. But anyway, at this point, we get some of the coolest deaths, I think, that we've seen in a Star Wars movie.
And some of the best fight choreography ever.
Oh, my God. So it's amazing. Good. So, one, you actually see Snoke get cut in half. Which it wasn't like presumed. You actually see the lightsaber slice him in half, and then top half falls on the ground.
He flops.
Like, when have you seen that in a Star Wars movie?
Yeah, you see like blood. In this scene, you see more blood than you may see in like any other Star Wars movie, like all of them combined.
And then one of his what is it, Crimson Guard or whatever? I don't know. The dudes in the red. I don't know
what they are, but they're freaking awesome.
They're like badass. And then one of them gets like chucked down that hole and you just see like shreds of him go everywhere.
Oh yeah, he like gets thrown into like what is in there? It's like
I have no idea. It's like energy fan
or something. Yeah.
I think it was just like a really nice like Dyson fan keeping the room cool and he just got chucked in it.
He pops like a confetti balloon. It's just like woo.
Yeah, you just see like confetti fly out and it's like, ooh.
And the confetti is body parts. Which again is really pushing it as far as, you know, Star Wars goes. Like they tend to dial back that stuff.
Yeah, usually it's like implied or mm-hmm. like you'll see a little bit of it, but they don't follow through with anything.
Yeah. I think like in Rogue One, there may have been like one stormtrooper leg that went flying without a body attached. Maybe. And it was like mind bending. Like, oh my God, it's so violent. Yeah. Like Alderaan exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. A freaking body part flies across the screen and suddenly everyone's being too violent. Anyway.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So at the same time as this thing is going, Finn and Rose, who we haven't even mentioned.
I love Rose.
Yeah. So,
I love her so much.
I guess we have to backpedal to their story, right? So Finn, while they're trying to escape I've got to go all the way back to the beginning now. There's like so many storylines going on.
There's a lot of
So what happens is like they're evacuating the planet, right? All the way at the beginning. Poe stalls them long enough. Everybody's able to jump to light speed. And once they jump to light speed, a few minutes later, the Empire is right there. And they realize that they're tracking them through light speed, which is supposed to be impossible, but apparently it's some kind of new tech that they've worked on.
Did we ever figure out why? Or is just the technology?
It's just the technology.
Okay. So it wasn't like one little beacon that was placed or something. It's just a new technology that the Empire has?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're able to track them. So at this point, they're like, okay, well, we can't jump again because if we jump again, we're just going to waste all our fuel. And
they're going to follow us anyway.
They're going to follow us anyway, and we're going to have no fuel. So instead, we get the world's slowest high-speed chase in a Star Wars movie ever that lasts half a movie.
It really does. It just goes on and on.
It just goes on and on with like the Empire kind of lobbing shots at the back of the Rebellion cruiser.
Mm-hmm. Again, with the Aristotelian unity of character, we'll say that that cruiser is a character. It's just always there.
Yeah.
And it's always just going.
So while this slow speed O.J. Simpson style chase is going on, we got like the Rebellion in their Ford Bronco and we got the police in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And Finn is like, I gotta tell Rey not to show up because if she shows up now, she's gonna get killed. So he tries to peace out in an escape pod. And Rose, who's this new character that we find, she is like basically kind of patrolling the pods and making sure nobody peaces out.
Mm-hmm. She's like a mechanic.
Yeah, she's like a mechanic or something. She sees Finn and she's like, oh my God, you're Finn. You're awesome. Wait, why are you leaving? And then mm-hmm. she like shocks him. Which is pretty funny.
Yeah. But it shows, like, what kind of heart even, you know, just a wrench, just somebody on board is as committed as the, you know, the commanders are.
Yeah.
Like I know that my job is to watch these buttons and make sure that, you know, they don't change color.
Mm-hmm.
And to screw this back in if it gets loose. But, you know, I give just as much a shit as the people on the bridge do.
So we'll pause here for a second on the Rose and Finn story. Yeah, we've totally left out a big thing, which is the cab of the Ford Bronco being obliterated to pieces and everybody being sucked out to space.
And Leia surviving.
And then Leia totally finally showing her Jedi powers and pulling herself back into the ship from the middle of space.
Hey, she doesn't like to flaunt it. She only uses it when she has to.
She's like a Jedi, but I don't need to brag about it.
Again, it's like, why bother even asking the question?
Yeah.
The hull exploded, and the rest of the ship is somehow airtight and intact, and everyone lived?
Well, you
lived.
See, like, Finn was running for his X-Wing, and then he gets, like, shot back into the hallway, and then, like, they, you know, they have bulkhead doors, like, on the Titanic that didn't work.
Also, and talking about those stupid bomber things, the bottom was exposed to open space. And Rose's sister or cousin or whoever
was running around with no oxygen mask.
Was just chilling there on this little bridge, staring down at open space between her and the ship that was.
I'm telling you, man.
It's like, I'm sure that there's some sort of gravity field that's being generated by the machine. There's sort of sci-fi bullshit excuse for everything that
but
happens.
But if you looked at the other bombers, the bombers who were looking through their little spyglass and running on the catwalks and getting the bombs ready to go, they all had oxygen masks on.
Homegirl didn't.
Yeah, homegirl
didn't. Open space. That was a vacuum of fucking space.
I mean, it couldn't have been the vacuum because they didn't have, like, pressure suits on. They just had oxygen masks. So but something, still, something was going on.
Some
there.
Sci-fi bullshit but reason that makes it okay.
Anyway, that's so Star Leia Wars. Flew out and then flew in, but she used so much of her force power. Apparently, she like kind of put herself into a coma.
She used all of her mana points.
Yeah. And so she was in a coma during the slow speeds chase that we're now currently on, mm-hmm. where now Finn has been electrocuted. All right, so back to Finn and Rose. So Finn and Rose realize that, hey, we're being tracked through light speed, and it's probably one ship. You know, they're only going to track you using one ship, and it's going to be the badass ship. So we should just get on the badass ship and turn off the tracker.
How ragtag is that shit?
I know, right? That's like back to like, we'll just go onto the ship and...
But that's a microcosm of the rebellion.
Yep. That's how they do things.
That's their nature. Like, they don't have time to go through their bureaucratic nonsense. They're like cockroaches.
They just come out of the cracks, and all of a sudden you're like, shit, there's one right there. How'd it get in here?
Pretty much. But basically, like, you don't have time to go through the bureaucratic nonsense of getting it approved and making sure you send the right person. It's like, no, we got to do this, like, now.
Yeah.
So they do it.
Instead of talking to the new commander who's in charge, they just go to Finn and like, hey, Finn, whatever. And then somehow they Skype... What's her name from the cantina?
Again, don't bother asking questions as to how the fuck that worked, because it doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter.
So somehow they Skype her, and they're talking to her via Skype, and she's like, hey, you need this code breaker on this planet, and you got to go to Monaco, where all these rich people are in a casino, and you'll find the code breaker there. So then they're like, all right, we're going to go to Monaco.
Is the name of the place really Monaco?
No.
Okay. I'm like, that's a place.
No, I don't remember the name
of the
planet.
It's like Monte Carlo, but in space.
Yeah. So Rose and Finn take off on this adventure to go find the code breaker who can break them into the ship. Meanwhile, Finn, who was demoted, doesn't have any information on what they're actually doing. So this whole slow speed chase is really... The idea is just to get them close enough to the planet Crate so they can then jump in these transport ships and get down there while the Empire is still busy following this other ship that's going to be empty.
So why didn't the Jurassic Park lady, the one with the purple hair.
The purple hair lady?
Why did they hold that back? Like, to what end?
I think she was just trying to punish Poe for being an idiot and getting a bunch of people killed.
By not telling him what their plan was and then watching him freak out like a little kid?
Yeah.
Like, why not just tell him?
Well, come on. You know some people are like, this is fun. Look at him wiggle.
But it makes me think that she didn't really understand to what lengths he was willing to go because fucking mutiny. Like, that's...
Yes. I don't think she knew how far he would go.
Yeah.
But then
but at the same time, I think she kind of did. Like, I don't know. Like, this whole time, this thing seemed like they were all sort of just playing a game.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, we're fucked anyway.
It's like all of a sudden it became House of Cards on the ship. We're all playing a political pool.
Yeah, I mean, it really seemed like, well, we're boned either way. Let's see how this can go. Like, it just seemed a little, like, light-handed.
Now, that's one thing that I did like about this movie is that the stakes in this movie were ridiculously high.
The entire rebellion.
Movie, they're like, we're on the verge of extinction.
Yeah.
That was it. Which was great. Like,
it was like watching Ice Age.
Yeah. Like, it was just like, are they going to die off? Like, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. So Rose and Finn end up on this planet with the casino, and they illegally park their ship on a beach. Which is, like, so stupid, like...
Well, they couldn't afford valet. But, like, yeah, why would you park
couldn't
there?
You have found, like, another way... Like, that was one of the things that I was like, this is ridiculous, right? Like, they just needed a reason to get them captured, and that was it. And they couldn't have thought of any other of the millions of reasons to find a way to get them caught. Like,
what other conflict could there have possibly
that's
been?
Where the writing in this movie kind of, like, was like, really, guys? Like, you just... Went for, like, the lowest hanging fruit you could do.
If they had met with the guy with the lapel pin, and he decided that he didn't want to have anything to do with it, and then had called security on them, that would have been a reason for them to start the
chase. Yeah, and then it would have been interesting, because you'd have this really awesome dialogue with this character, mm-hmm. which seemed kind of like a cool character, but you don't get to meet him at all.
The way that Maz talked him up, he was supposed to be this epic dude and apparently like a friend of the rebellion or at least a friend for hire.
Yeah.
But you never even get to figure that out.
No. And, like, yeah, I was just like, what? Like, yeah, that part just bothered me. So anyway, they illegally park and then they get captured and thrown in jail. And then you never see the codebreaker again. You see him for like half a second.
Yeah, he's like a red herring. He's just like this hollow excuse.
You know, the only thing that would have made that better is if the guy with the red lapel pin was Paul F. Tompkins. Oh. And his wife was, God, what's her name? From Beyond Belief?
I don't know.
God damn it. From Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Not, that's his wife?
In the show, oh. In Beyond Belief.
Oh, not Parker Posey.
God damn. Anyway, if you ever listen to Beyond Belief on the Thrilling Adventure Hour, you know what I'm talking about. They would have been the perfect characters for that, those two.
Yes.
Like, bar none.
Oh, that would have been so great to get Paul F. Tompkins in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. Anyway, so... But you never see him again.
I can't remember that girl's name. I feel so shitty right now. Trixie? Tracy?
Hold on. I'll look it up. So anyway, Finn and What's-Her-Face get thrown in jail, and they meet Benicio del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a weird character. Like,
oh, he's totally allowed to be whatever weird character he wants, because he is amazing.
But he's like, I'm a code breaker. And then they're like, yeah, yeah, whatever. And then he's like, no, really, I can help you. And they're like, yeah, yeah, whatever. We got to find this guy with the red lapel pin.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, all right, whatever. And he just like opens his wallet and pulls out a thing and opens the door and
Paget Brewster.
There you go.
We didn't even have to look it up, you guys. I swear. Woo! I figured that out on my own.
Good job.
Thank you. I'm going to treasure that always.
Also, if you have never heard Beyond Belief on the Thrilling Adventure Hour, I highly suggest you listen to it, because even though they're not making those podcasts anymore, they are amazing.
I was going
to
say, I haven't heard one in a while.
Well, they just had one come out, so here's a plug for them. They are doing a show for charity, so you have to buy it. And you can just go to thrillingadventurehour.com, I'm sure.
I feel like I just drank a bottle of scotch.
And you buy the episode and all the money goes to the charity. Yeah, all the characters are back, and there's some special celebrity guests as well and all this stuff. So, yeah, Thrilling Adventure Hour, awesome podcast. Go check it out.
Paul F. Tompkins, just in general, is legendary status.
So, anyway, he opens the door. Benicio del Toro's character, whatever his name was. I don't even know. Did he even say his name?
Probably.
I don't remember. Anyway, he takes off, and they're like, oh, the door's open. Let's go. And then BB-8 somehow, BB-8's like taking out all the guards to go rescue him. And then him and Benicio del Toro run into each other and they're like, sweet. And then they take off together. And then the other two are running around and they meet the stable kids. So there's like horse racing and like, I don't know what kind of animals they are, but they're basically like humanoid horse things. They had weird, like, kind of humanish faces.
Did they?
Yeah.
No.
Anyway. And so the stable kids that are in charge of taking care of the stables, they help them out. And once they find out they're part of the resistance and release all the horse alien things, and Finn and Rose make their escape.
Which is shitty because those things were probably captured from the wild and they were released back into the wild and they're probably just going to get captured again and put right back to where they were.
Probably. The other thing about this is it is a very pro-animal movie. Like Chewie wouldn't eat the porgs and they rescued the horses. And
it was. It was like was trying to show some sort of
like the vegan Star Wars.
Trying to remember if any other Star Wars wasn't particularly vegan in any direct form.
So, of course, during their escape, they're being chased. And then Benicio del Toro has a ship and saves them with BB-8.
He stole a ship.
Yeah. And then they take off to go break onto the ship that they're going to break into.
So all of that happens. All of that nonsense, and it ends up being complete horseshit and none of it matters.
Pretty much. Which was also the other thing that I kind of was like, seriously, guys? Because, okay, so they, Finn and Rose, so Kylo Ren and Rey are having their epic battle. At the same time, Finn and Rose have broken into the ship with Benicio del Toro, and they're running through the ship, and they get to the spot, and they, Rose, or he breaks them into the thing, and Rose is about ready to go and turn off the tracker thing, because she's the maintenance person that knows how to, like, turn off this tracker thing, and they get caught. Because they were reported.
Yeah.
And so all that stuff that they did was for absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in a way, heightened the you know,
the aspect. Desperation.
The desperation. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they're going to save them. And then it's like, fuck, they didn't save them.
It was but a little bit more realistic.
It kind of fell a little flat.
It did, but not everything. Maybe, like, because this is this epic saga.
Yeah.
They wanted to introduce something that wasn't so epic. Like, you now, thought it might have been.
Let's throw this a different direction. I'm writing Star Wars here.
Congratulations. All
right. Thank you. We need to break into the ship to get the thing to stop the tracker, right? So mm-hmm. they come up with this plan. Rose and Finn find the codebreaker on the planet. They send the codes up to the ship. They send a small contingent of rebels that we don't know or care about really, but they're going to go and do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they get on the ship. They get close. They're right there. They're trying to do it. And then they just all get killed.
So a little bit more of a dramatic cut from we're going to do this thing to, oh shit, we got caught.
Yeah.
You want like more of a story development there.
Yes.
I could see that because they didn't even get a chance to start working on the thing. Like, because they could have just disabled the tracker and then everyone on the ship would have figured out, oh shit, they disabled the tracker because the ship would disappear. The cruiser would disappear. And before the cruiser even had time to do anything, that ship would be like, well, something must have happened to the tracker, and then boom, sends everybody to the tracker. Like, mm-hmm. There probably wouldn't even be time for the people on the cruiser to do anything about the tracker not working anymore.
Yeah.
And at that point, weren't they just more concerned with loading the escape pods anyway? Yeah.
And then the other thing is, like, Finn and Rose get caught. Benicio del Toro sells them out and tells them what the plan is really, what really is happening, which I don't know how.
How did he do that?
He, like, freaking even knew.
Did he, like, make an appointment?
Like, how did he know that, like, this ship, they were going to escape on these pods, to tell the Empire that they were going to escape on these pods? Because he wasn't on the ship to begin with.
Yeah, how
and
did he
Rose
figure that out?
And Finn had no idea that that was what was going to happen.
Yeah, I wondered that too.
So it's like, how the hell did he know to tell the Empire, like, yo, they're leaving on these ships over here? Like, what?
I'm trying to figure out.
Like, where did that gap come from?
Yeah, like, how did he know?
Yeah, like, that made no sense to me. Because then they're just like, let's just start blasting the transports. And then they start blasting them out of the sky.
But then how come if they weren't looking for transports, suddenly they could find them?
Yeah.
What changed as far as their technology?
Well, no,
goes?
Because they were just looking at the main ship, and I think the cruiser was blocking their view of the transports.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Space age technology has its limitations.
Yeah. And they're so small, I guess they said they wouldn't track the transports because they're so small.
So they're reading them, but they don't care.
Yeah. But then when they realize, like, everybody's on them, they're like, I'll just shoot those things down.
Doesn't that seem dumb, though? Like, if you're tracking a thing and, like, you know your entire opposite team is mm-hmm. on there, wouldn't you, like, monitor every single little blip around that thing?
You would think.
Yeah, that would make more sense to me. Like,
yeah.
Like, those things matter.
Mm-hmm.
Why suddenly, like, oh, it's too little. I don't care about that.
Yeah, it's like, if I was them, every little piece of space debris that came out, like, if someone pooped and it flushed out, I would shoot it. Just yeah. because, like, you know what? Shoot everything that comes out of that thing.
The Empire and the Rebellion.
Yeah.
The two biggest, you know, adversary forces in the galaxy. You're going to monitor everything around that.
Mm-hmm.
So
anyway.
That part didn't make any sense to me either.
So at this point, once again, I'm off and I'm like, this is stupid.
That's so weird because I don't think to ask those questions right? when I'm watching a movie.
So I'm like, this is stupid. But then, just like with Yoda, they do something fucking epic. And so Jurassic Park lady, purple mm-hmm. hair.
Purple hair lady.
She realizes, shit, they're blowing everything up. And she's the only one left on the cruiser. And she's just like, fuck this. I'm going to go kamikaze on their asses. And she fucking hyperspeeds through the Empire ship. And it is like one of the most epic things you ever see in a Star Wars movie.
And it kind of makes me wonder, like, oh my God, why didn't anyone ever think of that before? To jump to light speed, overriding your system's warning that there's, you know, there's matter in your way, and do it anyway.
Yeah.
And just jump to hyperspace at the acceleration of light speed in two objects cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Mm-hmm. And all of that matter, when pushed together with enough force, turns into energy.
Yeah.
And that's what
happened. The way they did it was just epic, how there was absolutely no sound, and you just see it, and it's because they're going at light speed, right? So you have to wait for the sound to come, and you're just like,
which is funny, because you're in space and there is no sound.
Yes.
But we'll look past that.
That's true.
That one we've given full license to look past, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't have the epic sounds of the TIE fighters and shit if we didn't look past that.
There'd be no sound
anyway,
at all.
Like, just freaking awesome.
And the visual was just so beautiful.
Yeah.
To watch that happen. The way that they did it. I mean, they've come a long way from blowing up the Death Star.
Yes.
It was gorgeous.
And then it gives, you know, five or six transports that are still heading towards the planet actually make it.
And miraculously, all of the heroes characters are not on a blowed up.
Yeah. And also, somehow, Finn and Rose managed to escape an exploded ship.
I know that they're heroes. I know they're supposed to survive. I know BB-8 had something to do with that. But, all of that was, But, again, I don't bother to ask those questions because heroes are heroes. And they're heroes for a reason.
Which is why it would have made so much more sense if they sent this other group that died. Ship blows up. Of course, Rey can survive because she's, a Jedi and she'll figure it out. Rose and Finn could have been on this other planet, and they peace out and somehow end up at Crait the same exact way that as they did at the end, right? When they're coming in, so they come in on an Imperial ship, and they're trying to close the doors because they're like, shit, they're coming, but then it's really just Finn and Rose, and they blast through at the last second mm-hmm. and clip their plane and blah, blah, blah. So they end up on the same planet, which is...
How did they find out that that's where the Rebel
again
is going to be?
Who knows?
There must be conversations going back and forth that they're not aware of.
There was some...
The
there
Rebels
was some
didn't
sort
know
of,
that they were even sent.
There was another Skype call that we missed at some point.
There must be, because how did Benicio del Toro know about the plan? And how did they know where they were going to be? So
yeah.
There must be a conversation that was edited out that let them know. Because they're, Finn and Rose aren't supposed to be up there.
Yeah.
They snuck away. So then how come suddenly they know all of the plans of mm-hmm. the Rebels when if they were to reveal their location, they'd get in trouble?
Yeah.
So there must be something that happened communication-wise that may have been edited out.
Maybe.
But that would be why Benicio del Toro's character would know about it, because he would have overheard the conversation.
Yes, but we're assuming a lot here.
Don't
know.
Well, he said, did you find the code breaker? Well, we found a code breaker. Who were they talking to when that happened?
Finn.
Okay.
So maybe
Finn
could
was
have
there.
Followed. I mean, no.
Poe.
Yeah, they were talking to Poe. So, I mean, maybe he could have, but he didn't know, so he couldn't have filled him in anyway.
And Poe was in trouble. He wasn't allowed to reveal their location anyway.
Yeah.
So, okay. Assume that a conversation happened at some point where each side was alerted of the other's position and then somehow not mad at the other side for that position.
Yes. Sure. Anyway, so now we're on Crait, and the Empire is there, and they are the First Order, I guess, whatever you want to call them. They'll always be the Empire to me.
Do they have a new name?
Yeah, they're called the First Order now.
Oops. They're the Empire.
Yeah, they're the Empire. Whatever. Okay. So they're coming down, and you got Emo, Rin,
mm-hmm.
Ky- Kylo Ren on his...
Who is suddenly built like a brick shithouse. Do you remember him at Grandma's Boy?
Yeah.
He was like, teeny tiny.
So he's there and the rebels are behind a blast door and somehow they have miniaturized the Death Star technology as a battering ram laser.
And again, we're not privy to the R&D of the Empire.
That's true. They're like, you know what? Those big Death Star things, not working. Let's think small. Let's just open doors.
Well, just because a technology didn't work in one application doesn't mean it's not going to work in a different application.
That's true. So
I'm just trying to justify every decision
they made. So they have a mini Death Star hanging between two AT-ATs. And
they were like 4 or 6. There were a couple on each side.
Yeah.
For what reason, I'm not entirely sure.
And how they got them down there so quickly, who knows? Like,
again, things just appear.
Yeah. It was like magic. Like, oh, they happen to have a whole regiment on this planet.
They also
as well.
Cut out a lot of time. Like, there's jump cuts that happen where it's supposed to be like days that go by. Yeah. That we don't
see. So once they realize they have this mini Death Star battering ram laser thing, they decide we need to, like, take it out. So for whatever reason, they put a bunch of people in a trench. Like, that's going to help a lot when they're up against machines.
I assumed it was some, like they ground had, battle tactic.
Like, they had no...
I didn't understand.
Like, the Empire had no ground forces. It was all mechanized stuff. Like, how are these... people in a trench with laser guns gonna help. But anyway.
Were they offering cover fire for
maybe
those machines? And there was no other way for them to...
It would have been more cool if they had, like, you know, like some ground-to-air laser cannons or something they were operating.
But they were only utilizing the equipment that they had on the planet. If they only had handheld weapons, then that would be a reason for you to trench everybody.
Anyway... So they're in these trenches, and then a few people got in these junky, hydrofoil land cruiser things.
I was totally lost at this point.
Yeah, so they have these hydrofoil land cruiser things where they're, like, riding on skids, which looked cool. Like, the whole idea of being on this in a salt flat with, like, the red underneath, so, like, mm-hmm. they have these red plumes coming out.
I thought it was weird that they needed to blatantly announce, oh, this is salt. Like, mm-hmm. why does that matter?
Again, like, really?
This is an odd choice.
Yeah.
But whatever. Sometimes the exposition is a little strong.
Yeah. It's like, we can figure out what's going on here, guys.
Lowest common denominator.
Maybe.
Anyway,
that one's for the kids.
Why is the ground white and red?
Oh, it's salt. Okay.
But why is it red? Don't worry about it, honey.
The blood of my enemies. Yeah, so they're trying to, like, blow up this Death Star laser thing, and then there's tons of TIE fighters picking them off. And magically, Rey and Chewie... and R2 come flying in on the Millennium Falcon and shoot a bunch of stuff and then have the TIE fighters chase them away with maybe one of the corniest lines of the movie, like, they really hate that ship.
Who said that?
I don't know. It was like, maybe it was Poe or somebody.
Like, oh, they really, what?
Yeah, so, like, as the TIE fighters were chasing the Millennium Falcon off into the distance, somebody was like, oh, they really hate that ship. It's like, really, guys?
I mean, is that out of line, though?
I guess. Like,
I didn't think it was dumb, but I didn't think it was out of line.
There was some dialogue where it was like, you guys could have really thought of some better shit. Like, you know, it's like, it's Star Wars. You could have the best writers in the world working on this stuff.
But when you do that campy, tongue-in-cheek stuff, you're rolling the dice. Either the recipient is going to dig it and going to like where they're coming from, or they're going to be like, that was stupid.
Maybe.
And in that case, you thought that was stupid. But for me, I'm like, that's in line with everything else.
Yeah.
You know, it just didn't matter to me.
Yeah.
Like, the one-liners, the throwaway things like that, like, This movie had them. Mm-hmm. That was one of them. It didn't really offend me much.
So pretty much at this point, like, Finn decides he's going to kamikaze the laser Death Star battering ram shenanigans. And he goes to do it, and then Rose smashes his ship out of the way.
I did have a problem with this. And so the tiniest little laser blast will destroy another machine.
Yeah.
But she can ram her plane into somebody else's plane, and they both survive?
Yeah.
Why?
Because Star Wars.
Okay. I can't think of a better answer either. Because I don't know. Star Wars and their characters. Like,
she did almost die, apparently. She was pretty
messed
up.
She got knocked out.
Yeah.
She got hurt. But she still had time for
exposition. Because
that's just it. It's like, how come Plukkins blows up?
Why'd you ruin my plan? And she's like, fuck you, I saved you. She didn't say fuck you. But basically.
But then, like, gives him a big old smooch, and then she passes
out. Yeah, and then she passes out. It's very, like, animated, like, animation style situation there.
Yeah, like, the plane ramming thing was what upset me. Like,
she should have just been knocked out. He carries her or does whatever and gets her back to the base. And they could have had that conversation later.
After she came to.
Yeah. Like, that could have been something that happened.
But if those planes were anyone else's, they would have both died.
Oh, yeah. For sure. No question.
He was on a kamikaze run, which means he was going very fast.
Yeah.
She was trying to save him from that kamikaze run. In order to catch up with him, she would have had to be going very mm-hmm. fast. You know that was a high-speed collision.
Oh, yeah.
And they're both totally fine.
Yep.
Hmm. I think it's funny that we're, like, nitpicking this bullshit, but really, we both had so much fun. And
I had a blast watching this movie.
That is ridiculous.
There are just a lot of problems with it. And how much, like, they just, everything in episode 8, they were just like, fuck it, and we're going to start fresh again. You know, like, basically everything that happened in episode 8 absolutely did not matter whatsoever other than Rey being found, basically.
Does every day need to matter as far as your next day, though? Not every day is, like, a wicked mm-hmm. timestamp in your life.
But it's like, if you're setting up all this epic stuff, you in a movie situation, you're setting up all this awesome stuff, you expect something to come of it. And
they did.
When nothing comes of it.
Luke died.
Hold on, we're not there yet.
Well, he's already dead, so.
No, we're not.
We're there.
We're not there. So Luke shows up at this point.
Mm.
And then he gives Leia Han's dice.
Which, one, we've never seen before, or have we, and I never noticed.
They've always been there, but they were never explained. Apparently, they were explained in a book, and we'll probably find out more. And I believe it was purposely placed there because of the Han Solo movie, which is coming out next December.
So we'll find out how he placed them there and where they came from and stuff like that.
But he gives him to Leia, gives Leia a kiss on the head, and then he's like, peace out, I'm going to go fight these fools. So it's basically Luke against an entire regiment of First Order people.
Leia is keen on the Force. Leia is keen on her brother. Did she understand the context in which she was interacting with her brother?
I think she did.
Think so?
I think she did.
Since she knew that it was all BS? Okay.
Yeah. So he goes out, and then Kylo Ren's like, every single gun shoot on him, and they're just like blasting him to hell. And it was like to the point of almost being comedic.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it lasted a second longer, I would have been like, this is fucking ridiculous. But
because nothing so far has been ridiculous.
No. But I mean, it was like, it was on the edge, right? Like, but then like, what Luke did afterwards kind of put it over the edge where, like, he just shows up and he's like, dusts his shoulder off.
Well, not to mention the fact that his hair and his beard are a different color and a different shape.
Yes, they were. Mm-hmm. So then Kylo Ren, after he realizes, like, okay, blasting him with guns isn't going to work. I'm going to go down and fight him myself, mm-hmm. as if that's a good idea. And because every other gun that they had at the same time didn't work.
The Force clouds your mind, right?
Yeah. So he goes down, and they have a pretty cool laser.
They have a beautiful
lightsaber battle. Yeah.
Their battle is gorgeous.
Like, it's pretty good. And the whole time, Luke is like, if you kill me, I'm just going to haunt you like your father. And, like, stuff like that. And then, so Luke's just totally fucking with him the whole mm-hmm. time.
Yeah.
And then finally, Kylo Ren, like, gets the upper hand, whether Luke let him or not. Who knows? But Luke was basically just stalling to give the rebels time to escape.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets the upper hand and he stabs him with a lightsaber, and he realizes the lightsaber is doing absolutely nothing to Luke. And he like slices him and dices him and whatever, and nothing's happening. And then I think at that point he realized that he's not really there and that he's an astral projection of mm-hmm. himself. And so they start moving on the base. But stupidly, the rebels are still standing there watching like, wow, this is cool.
Well, they don't know.
Rather
but
than
if
like
Leia
escaping.
Was supposed to know, then wouldn't she be like, guys, we need to get the F out of here really
you
right now.
You would think so. So then, of course, there are these awesome silver foxes with like crystals on them. And, you know, they're just running around. And then just happens, like, where'd all the foxes go? And then there just happened to be one that they could follow that leads them to the exit.
The entire Star Wars saga is based on there just happens to be bleh. So that part is a given.
Yeah. So they follow this one all the way out, and they realize that the exit's blocked with a landslide. And Rey is tracking Finn's little tracker that he has. And she's like, they're under that mountain somewhere, so let's just land. And then so they land. And then she realizes that the landslide is blocking the exit. So one of the only good callbacks in the Star Wars movie, because back when Luke was training her on the island, he was like, the Force isn't all about just lifting rocks and shit. And then she's like, Force isn't about lifting rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has to lift the rocks. So she, like, lifts the rocks, and everybody gets out, and they get on the Millennium Falcon, and they take off. Which, how they were able to just easily piece out of there when there's, like, other rebel ships up in above the planet and other stuff, whatever. They were able to peace out because the Millennium Falcon's badass because Star Wars. And they leave. And then we go to Luke back on planet Skywalker, whatever it's called. And he's floating, which is kind of cool. He's like, you know, doing the Buddhist little thing. And he's like zoning out. And he's like floating above the rock. And then all of a sudden, you know, his robes just fall and he dies.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
or we think he dies.
Who knows?
He could relocate, but yeah. Why he'd relocate without his clothes, we're not really sure.
Maybe it's to the nudist planet from Futurama.
Maybe. Ah, risk. But he's, you know, they have the same music callback from episode 4 where he's staring at the two suns, and that moment, they like to relive that moment where we fell in love with
him. That was good because it was the same music, mm-hmm. right? The same score. He's looking up the two suns. It's like, circle of life for Luke
mm-hmm.
has been completed.
Yeah.
And he just goes off.
And he was serene and he knew that he was supposed to be part of something bigger in that moment. And then at this moment when he's floating above the rocks, he's looking at those suns and he realizes that he had become part of something bigger.
Yeah.
And for him to depart at that moment, to me, there was no question as to if any other way that he could have gone. Because he had used all mana points on that last trick.
I mean, he projected himself across the galaxy.
He served a purpose, and he fulfilled all of the obligations that he could. Like, for him to expire at that moment did make sense to me. Like, I wouldn't ask anything more from him because he had given everything that he could.
And it was kind of like his redemption.
Yeah.
In a way.
And the way that it closed out at that, you know, the way that they chose the music and, you know, the thing that he was looking at and the way that he was looking out in the distance, it was like, that's when you...
Yeah.
You want that to be the last thing that he saw, because when you think Luke, at least for me, I think of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think of him, you know, being 20 years old, staring off into the sunset with the two suns.
So, like I told you, like, is episode 9 going to be Star Wars episode 9, Return of the Jedi 2?
Oh, I don't know. Probably. So we've got Rey, who's now a Jedi.
Yeah.
We've got, I mean...
Well, she has... Okay, so back to Yoda and Luke. Luke decides he's going to destroy the last Jedi temple. And Yoda's like... And he's like, he can't do it. So Yoda just burns the shit down himself.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, like, books and stuff in there. But Rey you know, you see jacked later them that earlier.
She stole the books.
And so they're on the Millennium Falcon
yeah.
with her. So she's going to train herself to be a Jedi, basically.
Do you think she's going to train anybody else while she's at it?
Maybe well, Finn or Poe? All right, so here's the interesting thing, right? So did you notice this at the end? So at the very end, we go back to Planet Monaco, mm-hmm. whatever it's called, with the casino. Mm-hmm. And we're back in the stables with the stable kids.
Oh, yeah,
and,
the little boy.
And they're playing, right? Yeah. So they're playing, and he's talking about Luke Skywalker and how he...
The way he picks up the broom.
And the way he picks up the broom.
He pulls the broom.
He pulls the broom yeah. and uses the Force, right? Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. The director of this movie, Rian Johnson, he has been green-lighted by Star Wars to do his own trilogy, not part of the Luke Skywalker universe. Mm-hmm. So there's a chance that that boy in that stable that's showing the Force will be connected to his other trilogy. Mm. And that might be why they showed him. He might be like the new Luke Skywalker kind
well,
of
he's
thing.
Definitely part of the Rebels.
Because yeah, he has the little ring. He has the rubber
yeah,
ring.
But yeah, when he pulls that broom, it comes off the wall.
Yeah.
Just enough for you to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he grabs it.
So
yeah, the Force is definitely
so there's Force there. And so, yeah, he has his own. But see, here's the thing. So J.J. Abrams wrote and directed Episode 7. Mm-hmm. Rian Johnson wrote and directed Episode 8. And he basically took everything that J.J. Abrams made and said, I'm going to wipe the slate clean and we're going to go in a different direction. J.J. Mm-hmm. Abrams is writing and directing Episode 9. So is now he going to come in this weird power struggle apparently they have and wipe everything that he did off and say we're going back in a new direction?
Well,
or is he going to stay faithful to what Rian Johnson just did? And
it depends on where they decide to take the story.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's weird.
I don't even like getting involved with that because I feel like it crosses between real life and Star Wars mm-hmm. universe. And I don't like pretending that those things have anything to do with each other.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know that they do, but I don't want to give any of that attention. I'd rather know Star Wars for being what it is, ridiculous or not. And, you know, writing, directing, producing being its own thing. Mm-hmm. So what J.J. Abrams decides to do with Episode 9 is, honestly none of my business. I just want to see the movie.
Yeah.
I don't care what they do.
And now, to be honest, I kind of trashed the movie, but I absolutely had so much fun watching it. And if anything, this movie completely subverted any expectations you had. Like, you saw something like the X-Wing under the water, you're like, yep, he's going to raise that from the water, and it never happened. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there were just so many times where you're like, I know where this is going. And then you're like, it did not pan out the way I thought it was going to happen.
Yeah.
So besides, you know, the iffy writing and some of the plot holes and some of the other things, I still had a lot of fun watching it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to pick apart movies and that kind of stuff. I mean, I'll end up doing it, obviously, because I did. But, it takes a lot of work for somebody to put something like this together. And it takes, an immeasurable amount of people and man hours to do mm-hmm. something like this. To create an addition to a saga that has existed longer than we have as humans on this earth. The Star Wars world has existed longer than we have.
Yes.
So it, you know, it's bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
It's bigger than any one director. It's bigger than any cinematographer. It's bigger than that. So, we can pick it apart and pretend that we understand it and try to see where they were coming from and try to sympathize with the editing department and understand that they had to get rid of some stuff and, you know, all of this stuff. But at that same time, this machine, this organism that is Star Wars is beyond our comprehension. And the only thing that we can really do is observe it. And maybe learn something from it.
Maybe.
But it's bigger than all of us.
So what do you think about the Han Solo film coming soon?
I know nothing about it and I cannot comment.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
It's going to be interesting that we're going to have two story. As this trilogy wraps up with Episode 9, we're also going to have this other trilogy going.
What's the timing as far as the Han Solo?
So Han Solo comes out. I think they're going to do every December is what it seems like. Because they tried to do with Marvel, how they do a summer and a winter, and it's never really worked out, so they keep pushing them to winter. Mm-hmm. So my guess is that the Han Solo film will be out next December, and then Episode 9 the December after that.
Okay.
And then we'll get the new, probably, I think we're going to get the Boba Fett movie, and then we'll get whatever this new trilogy is.
So Boba Fett may be like a summer flick?
No, it'll be a December.
Are they going to release them simultaneously?
No.
So it'd be like one, then one, then one, then
yeah.
one, then
so
one.
Every year, during about near Christmas, we'll get a new Star Wars movie.
Okay. That's a good time, I think.
Yeah.
It seems to have done
well. I think, I don't know, if they do two Star Wars films a year, like if they did release one in summer and then one in winter, people might get burnt out.
Well, maybe in the same instance as like the comic book worlds, where they were coming out so frequently that they had lost their pizzazz.
Yeah.
They lost their rarity. And with Star Wars, they come out so infrequently that that rarity is definitely there. And you have to go see it because you don't know when the next one is that you're going to be able to see. Mm-hmm. And like between 4, 5, and 6 and then 1, 2, and 3, how many decades were there? And mm-hmm. then same thing between 1, 2, and 3 and 7, 8, 9.
But it makes me wonder, like, are they going to finish Rey's story in Episode 9? Or are they going to continue it and somehow make it intertwine with whatever this new trilogy is going to be? Like, I don't know. There's a lot of questions. I'm excited to see where it goes.
They don't necessarily have to, because if they allow the rebellion to expand beyond what they showed in 8, then you have all of this stuff.
Yeah. You know? But, like, we're assuming, let's say Rey doesn't die in Episode 9, hopefully. Mm-hmm. She'll still be around, so whether her character is in the new trilogy or not, she's still in the universe, mm-hmm. so there's a chance that she would show up. Or would they just continue with Episode 10 and then have Episode 1 of this new trilogy and then have them running simultaneously, and at some point, like how they do with the Avengers, they're going to cross over and have some kind of big epic, like, that would be the Return of the Jedi, where they have like this Avengers thing where like all these Jedi from different parts of the universe finally come together.
At some point, you have to wonder, how many times are they going to tell the same story?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like Axis versus Allies over and over and over again. It's mm-hmm. like playing the same freaking battlefield.
It's like poor orphan kid finds that he has powers, joins the rebellion. Poor orphan kid finds that she has powers, joins the rebellion. And now we have a poor orphan kid who finds out he has powers.
And is probably going to join the rebellion. And, like, it never stops being inspirational, and it never stops being amazing to watch that journey, because, you know, every perspective changes the story as it's told.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we can appreciate that as moviegoers. But at the same time, like, how fucking long are they?
Well, that's why I'm really enjoying these Star Wars stories like Rogue One. And I'm excited to see the Han Solo thing, and I'm excited to see the Boba Fett thing, and...
I just love the universe.
It'd be really cool, like, to see them do something that's not connected to the Rebels, right? Like, is there a story that could happen that has nothing to do with the Empire and the Rebels?
So it'd be like a movie based in the 1950s that had nothing to do with World War II.
Yeah.
Very easy.
Like, because there's so many planets, so many characters, so many things. Like, there has to be a really epic story you could tell.
Well, yeah, because if you think if the Rebellion, like, is on one cruiser and there's an entire galaxy full of beings.
So, like, they have these kyber crystal things, right, that supposedly power lightsabers and the Jedi's use them.
Yeah.
And they have these Jedi temples. Imagine, like, an Indiana Jones-style story where it's, like, this explorer that goes to these, like, crazy places and tries to get these Jedi, because the Jedi is basically wiped out now, right? So maybe this explorer is trying to, like, find all this Jedi stuff to either sell or try to figure out what to do with it. And then you have the Empire, who are basically the Nazis. So you could tell an entire kind of, like, Indiana Jones-style movie within the Star Wars universe with this character that's...
And how apropos would that be if it ended up being the Han Solo character played by Indiana Jones to be that?
That'd be pretty cool. But it's not Harrison Ford. It's
no, it's someone who's playing
God,
him.
I can't remember who he was. He was in that other movie. He was in that movie that one time.
All right.
We got to get out of here. We've been on this thing a long time.
We butchered the crap out of this movie. This epic of a movie. Beyond anything we could ever imagine from the production standpoint of a movie. With and these 18... two assholes tried to pull it apart.
Yeah. I had fun doing it, though. All right. So
I can't feel my face.
You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Tales from the Fog. You can follow Veronica at...
Veronica Voices.
On Instagram. Mm-hmm. You can follow the Decay Brigade on YouTube at Decay Brigade Official. And we just released a new video with some cool behind the scenes of like a fight choreography we put together for last year. Mm-hmm. And I think that's it. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, guys. Let's get out of here. Until next time, see you in the fog.
Bye, guys. Be good. Bye.